This is the Evil Never Dies podcast with Brett and Carl. This podcast may contain adult themes, violence, and strong language. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome back to the Evil Never Dies podcast, episode 304, I think, 305? Fuck, I can't even remember anymore. There's so many of them. What's up, Carl?
Yeah.
How was Moxley tonight?
It was awesome.
Really cool. I seen you took Ayla with you. Did she like it?
I did. She hit her head the whole time, but she made it through it.
She hit her head, huh?
I was in front of her and Luke was in back of her. That's the only way she made it through.
Oh, Luke went through with you?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool, man. They're about the same age, ain't they?
I think so. Ayla might be a little bit older.
That's right. That's right.
Not trying to dog on a certain haunted house in Plano. It was charging $45. Like, my fucking Lord.
Wow.
$45.
That's crazy.
That's just stupid. I'm sorry.
That's not even the fast pass.
No. I mean, I don't want to dish on people, but when you're stupid and ridiculous, then I'm going to say something. And that was ridiculous.
Yeah,
at Christmas time, trying to get people to pay $45 to go through a haunt. I don't see it. I don't get it. I don't agree with it.
Yeah, that's not good.
I don't think it is. I don't think it's good for the industry.
Well, if it was, at least Richard's got three attractions, you know, to go
through.
He's
only paying, only charging $25.
Well, a lot of people there show up, or?
It was a good crowd.
Oh, good.
We got there late, so it was starting to die off by then. But I was going to try to get Ayla to do a Moxley Manor review, but she said she would only do it if we paid her $10. So it's Friday the 13th. I got a Jason out. I got a Frankenstein with a freaking whatever hat, and I got a Grinch, and that's all the Christmas you're getting out of me this year. And it might not even, if that Grinch falls on the floor, it ain't coming back up.
I ain't even put my Christmas tree up yet, so probably ain't gonna. I got to get it out of the shed, and I don't want to go back there.
So it's Friday the 13th. For some damn reason, we did part 6 and we did part 8, but we skipped part 7. We done part 1 with Jimbo and the Tragedy of Cinema podcast. We did the remake with one of the Winchester brothers. We haven't done 2, 3, 4, or 5. No. And now we're going to do 7 because we did 6 and 8. So I'm so confused by the way we review shit. I'm not in a good mood. This movie is what it is.
Mm. It is. All right.
So hit it, dude. I just want to go home.
All right. Friday the 13th, part 7, The New Blood. Directed by John Carl Beekler. Written by Manuel Fidello and Daryl Haney. Based on characters by Victor Miller. Produced by Ian Patterson. Cinematography by Paul Elliott. Edited by Maureen O'Connell, Martin J. Sadoff, and Barry Zeitlin. Music by, of course, Mr. Harry Manfredini. And in association with Fred Mullen. Production companies are Friday 4 Inc., distributed by Paramount Pictures. Release date, Friday, May 13th of 1988. Has a running time of 88 minutes. Country, United States. English language, had a budget of $2.8 million, and at the box office, it brought $19.2 million. And that's the stats for this. Why don't you go over the plot, Carl?
If you insist. So, Jason's dead. They give a replay of part six. And then it goes back in time. I don't know what the hell it does. And we meet this psychic chick who's arguing with her daddy. She's about, I don't know how old she is. Long story short, she kills her daddy with psychic powers. It's on Friday the 13th. So then we fast forward. I don't know how old she is. I don't know. But long story short, the psychic chick brings Jason back from the dead and he kills a bunch of people. That's all I can tell you. If you got something to add, feel free.
Isn't it supposed to be like 7 years after or something?
I have no idea.
The last one? Because this is supposed to actually be a direct sequel to part six.
It's not a direct sequel. The Jason don't look nothing like it's supposed to in this one. I guess because it's been down in the water for 7 years. I don't know.
It's been rotting in the water.
I don't even call him a him. I call it an it because it's not a human being at this point.
Nope. It's, this is like the start of when the supernatural aspects really came into it, sort of.
Yeah, there had never been anything supernatural to the Jason Friday the 13th series until this Carrie looking acting girl shows up. Yeah.
All right, let's go over the cast here.
There's a Jason right there.
Ooh, there is right there. All right, we got Laura Park Lincoln as Tina Shepherd.
And that's the so-called psychic person.
Yeah. And she actually played Maddie Lee's mom in that Autumn Road.
I remember you saying that, I think.
And she's...
I saw Maddie Lee tonight, by the way.
Oh, yeah? Was she there? Was she acting?
She was in a gingerbread man costume.
Oh, cool.
I can't get this Jason to sit nowhere. I don't know. Go ahead.
Next, we got Kane Hodder playing the part of Jason Voorhees, and this was his first time of playing the character. And next off, we got Kevin Blair as Nick Rogers, Susan Blue as Mrs. Shepherd. That was Tina's mother.
She was an awful actress.
Yeah, she was. And next we got Terry Kaiser as Dr. Chris Cruz. You know who he is, don't you?
Chris Cruz? He used to be an announcer for WCW.
No, Terry Kaiser.
Oh, I have no fucking clue.
He played, what was the Dead Guy movie where they drug him around?
I have no idea.
Next off, we got Susan Jennifer Sullivan as Melissa Parr. Elizabeth Caton as Robin Peterson. John Renfield as David Peabody, Jeff Bennett as Eddie McCarlo, Diana Barrows as Maddie Paulson, Heidi Kozak as Sandra Casey, William Butler as Michael Rogers, and Walt Gorney, unaccredited as the narrator, and he was like the crazy guy in the first film. Now, when they were first thinking about doing this, they wanted to make the joint thing with A Nightmare on Elm Street. That's what this was originally supposed to be, but
I don't think Paramount wanted no part. I mean, the New Line wanted no part of it at this point.
Yeah, at that point, yeah. But they ended up making it Freddy versus Jason in 2003.
If I'm not mistaken, the Elm Street movies were far surpassing the Friday the 13th movies at the box office. So Paramount was looking for a gimmick to try to recharge the series, and they thought they'd get Jason. Maybe they should have went after Michael. I don't know.
Maybe. That might have been a little better, maybe.
Yeah.
Film's original working title was called Birthday Bash.
And why?
To conceal the identity that it was going to be a Friday the 13th film.
Like, nobody doesn't know they're going to be releasing another one of these damn movies that came out every year. How stupid.
The entire production of this film was scheduled, completed, and released within 7 months. Shooting took place from October through November of 1987 in Baldwin County, Alabama, at Burns Lake, and in the nearby city of Mobile in February of 1988 for reshoots. Oh, let's see here.
You've got a weird light in the background.
A weird light?
A weird red light that's like shining on your face.
I don't know what it would be, unless it's the screen off of your red light there.
No, it's your candles back there. It's making a weird flash. That's what it is.
Off the side of my shiny
yes,
head?
Yes, it is.
Let's see here. They released the scores of both Part 7 and Part 8 on September 27th, 2005, and they put that on vinyl, too. So that would have been pretty cool to get on vinyl. You got the Blu-ray or the DVD of this or anything?
Right here, Blu-ray.
Ooh. I didn't even see nowhere where it came out on Blu-ray. Who released that?
Scream Factory and Paramount together.
Ah, okay. You got anything to say about the...
It's a... Looks good. Factory cleaned them up. All of the Friday the 13ths look good that the Scream Factory put out. Paramount never gave any love to these movies when they were on DVD, so... You'll never see a 4K release of this is the best you're going to get, so... It's got a few special features, which, again, Paramount never gave. Nothing of real interest. There's an audio commentary and some deleted scenes and the little featurette. So, yeah, you got to give the Blu-ray a good... It's good.
Okay.
Yeah, because Paramount always gave shitty releases, so... It's even got a cool little middle art there, so if you can see Jason there. There he is.
Okay, cool.
So... Yeah, it's a good DVD. It's a good Blu-ray.
Okay.
I recommend it if you like these type movies.
Well, I watched it on Paramount Plus, and it was still in the 4:3 letterbox on there, so they ain't done nothing with it on there either.
Now, Paramount gave these movies no love. Luckily, like I said, they let the Scream Factory put them out.
All right, I guess we'll go over some trivia here. A lot of trivia, actually, but we've talked a little bit about some of his stuff.
That so. Red light's annoying, dude.
I don't know what to tell you.
Move your head or something. It's like your whole head is shining. Like a laser coming out of your eye.
How's that? I moved over.
That's better.
Can you still hear me?
I can hear you, but I don't... That laser, that was annoying, actually.
I'll have to turn them fuckers off next week, because I like to move around.
Yeah.
All right. Trivia. Director John Carl Beekler was publicly fumed many times over the years about the number of edits required by the Motion Picture Association of America to get it down to an R rating from an X. He submitted 9 times, and finally they moved it to an R.
There ain't nothing graphic in this movie.
And supposedly it's the most heavily censored entry in the Friday the 13th series.
Well, it must be censored to the point where there's nothing even graphic in it.
Was there any gorier?
I didn't even watch the deleted scenes. Oh, I wasn't okay. Interested.
That's probably what they are then. There's 9 of them.
Yeah.
During filming, Kane Hodder's dressing room was a quarter of a mile down the dirt road. One night, filming ended at 2 a.m. While still in the Jason costume, he decided to walk through the woods on a path back to his dressing room. As he was walking, someone approached him and asked if he was in the movie. He didn't reply because he thought it was a pretty stupid question to ask. And the guy asked him again, and he leaped at him, and the guy ran off, and then the next day... The director said, hey, the sheriff was supposed to stop by here last night. You didn't have to see him, did you? I didn't. He never showed up. So evidently scared the sheriff of the little town they were in.
Okay.
Thought it was pretty funny. All right, here. Jason's mask in this film was cast from the same mold as the original mask from Friday the 13th, Part 3, but was modified slightly in addition to the damage seen on the mask, the axe, and propeller damage. The edges of the mask. Oh, you're petting the cat. I was like, what the hell is that?
That's Halloween. Tail. She's here for Friday the 13th, even though she's named Halloween. She likes Jason better than Michael.
But anyway, they cut the edges of the mask a little more out so they could you could see Kane's head better.
The mask looks stupid, and it's the worst Jason mask they had.
Yeah, it looked too small, I think.
It was dumb looking. It didn't look anything like the mask from Part 6.
It looked more roundish.
I guess they're trying to say that he was in the damn ocean or the lake for all these years. And it
swelled up the mask.
I guess. I don't know. But the mask looked like pure shit. It didn't even look like a Jason mask. The one in Part 5 looked better. And that wasn't even the, you know, the actual Jason mask in Part 5.
All right. During filming, producers hired Leslie Busby, a local gator wrangler, to be the and keep the gators away from because they were filming on a lake down there in Alabama, so there's gators. But it was sort of like winter time, so the gators weren't even really there. So he just sat around and looked at the lake the whole time.
What a waste of money!
No shit. But I guess if he wasn't there, and then one did happen to show up and choose somebody, that wouldn't have been good either.
Maybe it would have been.
Final role for Walt Gorney, who was the narrator in this film and the crazy Ralph in the first two entries.
Now, that is something I never knew, so I learned something tonight.
Kane Hodder's costume and hockey mask worn in this film are now owned by the Friday the 13th Props Museum, owned by Mario Kiemer.
Was that some museum like Count Karabi's museum?
I don't know. I didn't know there was such a thing.
Me either.
This film serves as the longest Jason appeared on screen unmasked. This wasn't the first time they showed his rotted face, though, was it?
No, he was... No.
He looked even more, like, rotted from being in the water, I guess.
I guess.
The way they wanted it, I guess. I don't know.
He does not appear the same in Part 8. It looks nothing like this. It feels to me like that Part 6, they skipped Part 7 when Part 8 and just continued from where 6 was. Because Jason don't look anything like that.
Beekler was so impressed with Kane Hodder when he ate live worms on the set of Prison from 1987 that he pushed for Paramount to let him cast Hodder in the role of Jason. If it had not been for Beekler's persistence, the role of Jason would have went back to C.J. Graham, who played in Part 6.
Yeah, he wanted to continue to play in Jason. He got... shit can for Kane.
Yeah. Let's see here. Any hopes of a complete uncut version of the film being released were dashed when it was revealed that the footage no longer exists as Paramount destroyed all the outtakes. All that remains of them exist only in bootleg work prints of horrific they're horrific and low quality. That must be what's on that Blu-ray.
I didn't even watch it, so I watched the movie twice. The first time I went to sleep, the second time I got through it, and I didn't want to watch the extra features. Sorry, Jason.
In the deluxe edition DVD and Blu-ray edition, lead actress Laura Park Lincoln says during her rare off days from shooting that she would use a custom button maker to make Jason fronted buttons. She noted that she made over 50 total, and they would make super rare crew memorabilia. She says she's never ever seen one surface since then. Let's see here. First three films in the series each featured a new protagonist. Then the next three sequels centralized the character of Tommy Jarvis. This film submitted the new blood with the intention of Tina becoming a protagonist who would recur in further sequels, though that idea was shelved.
Of course it was.
So, yeah. Susan Jennifer Sullivan, who played Melissa, did not know that she auditioned for a character in a horror movie.
How the fuck could you not know you're auditioning for a horror movie?
I don't know. Wouldn't you think you would at least ask that when you, what kind of movie is this before you even start? Oh, that's funny. Not counting the opening narration, Jason is not mentioned by name until 58 minutes into the film. Dang. He killed a lot of people in that time.
They were not camp counselors this time either, so that broke that as well.
Yep, they weren't even at a camp, really, were they? It was like just some property that the...
Just some idiots living on the lake.
Yeah. Let's see here. At the start of the film, just before the scene between young Tina and her father, Jason is seen inert and chained to a rock at the bottom of Crystal Lake, where Tommy Jarvis left him at the end of the previous film. His clothes have discolored to a blue hue, but remain otherwise intact. Years later, before Jason is revived, his clothes have turned to rags. His flesh is decayed, and his gloves, tool belt are now gone, presumably have rotted away. Fans, what's that say? Fans have debated how much time Jason spent inert of the bottom of the lake. It's like, who cares? If you're in there for a year, you're going to be fucking rotted. So,
well, he was already rotted because he was in a grave for years.
Yeah, he had worms fucking eating him and shit. Oh, let's see here. Really not much more. We've already talked about a bunch of this stuff, so.
Okay.
Guess it's going to be a short episode tonight.
Good.
All right, I'm going to let you go first since you picked this movie.
Well, I didn't really pick it. I just decided since we had done 6 and 8, we probably should get 7 out of the way. It was a mistake that I picked it. I haven't watched this movie in a long time, and I never liked it, so I thought, well, I'll give it a chance. All I can say is this is probably the biggest pile of shit I've ever seen in a Jason movie. I always thought Part 5 was the worst, but I think this is probably worse than that. I cannot think of any one thing in this movie that redeems it. Nothing. Not Kane Hodder either. I honestly thought he did a terrible job as Jason.
Oh, man, you're bagging on Kane's first
time. I am bagging on him. He did not do a good job as Jason.
Dude.
The music is terrible. The score is shit. Now, Kane Hodder, the guy in Part 6 did a far better job playing Jason.
Oh, man.
So, bagging sorry.
Kane.
He didn't do a good job in this movie, Brett. He did not act like Jason. He didn't seem like Jason. Now, he did better in Part Goes to Manhattan. Kane Hodder did a great part. He was awesome in Jason Goes to Hell.
Well, he
Jason X.
He improvised a lot of the stuff on this one, though.
And it showed, and it was unnecessary, and it ruined the movie even worse than it was. Kane did not do a good job with the improvising. Sorry, people. I just tell it like it is. He was not a good Jason in Part 7.
Okay.
The psychic girl was stupid. It was dumb. There's never been supernatural crap in a Friday the 13th movie besides the damn Jason being alive and dying a thousand times.
The way they described it, they wanted to do like Jason meets Carrie.
Well, it was dumb. It was a stupid concept. And part six is probably the best movie besides the first two. But this is trash. It was, the acting is awful in it. That mother of the Carrie girl was one of the worst actors I've ever seen. The doctor was not even good. The kills were terrible.
Weekend at Bernie's, that's what he was in. He was in Weekend at Bernie's. That's
well, he should have stayed in Weekend at Bernie's. Then at one point, Jason's running out with this big, huge hole saw. Like, what the hell is this? Nothing good about this movie. It's the worst of the series. It's worse than part five.
Ooh, you're being fucking harsh, man.
It is the worst Friday the 13th movie ever created.
Bagging on Kane Hodder.
He was terrible in this. Tell me, how was he good as Jason in this? He didn't even act like Jason. He's like all grunting, and they tear the freaking mask off, and he looks underneath, looks stupid as hell, that face of Jason.
I thought that was cool.
Dumb looking. It was absolutely horrific.
Oh, shit.
That's why I think after this, when they did part eight, they just skipped over this movie. And Kane Hodder did a great job in that one and every movie since then. But in this, no. The guy in part six was better. They should have kept him.
All right. What are you going to rate it then?
I will give this movie a one, and that's it. A one? The only reason it gets a one is because it's a Friday the 13th movie. If it was called Weekend at Bernie's, it would have got a zero. It's the worst Friday the 13th movie of the series. Worse than part five.
Okay.
Worse than Jason X.
Okay.
It's terrible. There is. I will tell. Don't watch this movie. Skip it. Part six and go straight to part eight where he goes to Manhattan. Skip this movie. It's total shit. Oh, it's a shame man. That it's even in the Friday the 13th catalog.
So
it's
harsh.
Basically, it's basically Halloween Resurrection. It's not the damn Halloween Ends or whatever that damn thing was called. It's not that bad, no.
Fuck.
That's not that bad. What?
Oh, that's funny.
It's not funny.
Resurrection.
I'm being
Oh.
Yeah, Resurrection's the one that had, what was his name in it?
Busta Rhymes.
Yeah, it's equal to that, I would guess. I think Resurrection's better. But it's not as, that Halloween Ends, what was it called?
Halloween Ends and Kills. Ends is the last one.
Kills was better than, I like Kills, but this movie is better than Halloween Ends. That's all I can say.
Well, I would fucking hope so. Jesus Christ. All right. I like this movie.
Are you fucking joking?
Yes, it's one of my favorites out of the whole series.
Why?
I don't know, man. I just like it. I think Kane did a good job.
Oh, Lord, no. I didn't even know that was Kane Hodder until just now.
But, and I like the soundtrack.
It's terrible. They don't even do the right noises in it.
Yeah, they're a little different. They did change this up a little bit. That's the only thing. They didn't stay true to the original story, you know.
They didn't stay true to anything.
But I think Kane did a great job, man, for, you know. So I'm going to give it a 3.
I'm going to lower mine, I think.
Lower it. Oh, shit.
I'm going to vow right now, I will never watch Halloween. What is this called? Friday the 13th, part 7, ever again. I'm putting it away, and I will never watch this movie ever again. That's the end of it. I will watch part 6 and go to part 8. Those are good movies. Love part 6, and I like part 8. If I'm not mistaken, you bagged on part 8. You said it was silly.
Which one's part 8?
Jason Takes Manhattan.
Oh, yeah, it was.
It's.
They
it's,
really it, went off the rails there.
No, they didn't. He just jumped on a boat by accident. There's nothing wrong with part 6. It's in part 8. They're both great movies.
Well, this one ain't great, but it's not
It's total bullshit.
Man, you're being a dick tonight about it. Shit.
Well, what the hell? The movie sucks. It's not graphic. There's no real gore in it. The Jason don't act like Jason. The soundtrack is crap. The acting is terrible. And it don't even look like they're anywhere near Crystal Lake. That's all. And the ending is absolutely the stupidest ending to any movie I've ever seen. The ending is absolutely fucking dumb. Dumb, dumb, dumb. Now, do you think the ending of this movie is good?
No, it was sort of strange. Yeah, I have to admit.
It was strange. It was stupid and made no sense.
But so
what? Thank God they wrote this stupid chick off, and then we never saw her again.
If you had a favorite kill in this movie, what would it be?
There was no good kill in this movie.
Oh, come on, man. The beating the chick in the sleeping bag against the
tree.
That
was stupid.
Oh, I fucking love that.
You didn't even see her.
Well, you seen her when she was on the ground.
No, you didn't. They didn't even show anything.
They showed her face all beat to shit.
There is no good kills in this movie.
Well, that's my favorite.
I have no favorite. If they'd have killed the psychic girl, that would have been my favorite.
They couldn't do that.
Well, she's never seen again, thank God. I really made a mistake by picking part 7.
They did make a fan film she's in where she reprises her role.
Fucking God bless.
That Friday the 13th, Rose Blood or some shit like that.
Dude, I have no idea. I don't watch fan films.
Don't watch fan films? Okay.
No, they're all stupid.
All right, you're being a dick. Let's get off of here before you're
good,
because
I don't
want to
be on this damn show anyway this week. I was having a good night till I had to come on here and talk about this damn. I should have done Jason Goes to Hell, I guess.
We still got some shirts left over for a good cause, so $20, and in the U.S. it's only like $8 for shipping. So, if you want a shirt? Let us know. Join the group. Hit that like and subscribe on the YouTube. And guess we'll talk to you next week.
I guess. Unless I'm fired, which I wish the hell I was.
Stay evil, everybody.
This is the one you've been waiting for.
What's happening to me?
Your psychokinesis and these delusions.
No, you're not listening to me!
The one you've been asking for.
Hey, Tina, isn't this the way they wear their jackets back in the mental hospital?
Concentrate, Tina!
The one you've been dying for.
You people give me the creeps.
Okay, you big hunk of a man, come and get me!
Jason is back. But this time, someone is waiting. Part 7, The New Blood.
There goes the neighborhood.